Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. I love starting a podcast chat off with a few giggles. We've been wrangling the technology, and my wonderful guest for today is Madhavi Nawana Parker. And our paths crossed years ago, but we literally have not spoken for several years. So everyone listening is really sitting around the cafe table with us in Adelaide as we're settling in for a bit of a catch-up. Welcome to the podcast, Madhavi. I'm struggling to say your name today. I think I'm nervous.
There's no need to be nervous, Kathy. It's Madhavi, and any variation of that, I know you're talking to me.
Laps, thank you for your patience on that. So I'm standing here with my arms in the air. I could introduce you as the Managing Director of Positive Minds Australia. Tell us about Positive Minds Australia. Just let's start with where it's at now.
So where it's at right now is in really in its infancy. Now, my practice spans over 20 years, but in the last few months, I've been having a big think, and certainly over the last few years leading up to this moment with my company, that my work has always been centred around young people and also the young people who support the people who support young people. So for me, I felt like I needed to show and be clear about what I actually did, and what I actually have always done is look at the mindsets of young people, look at the mindsets of the people who care for them, so that's parents, health professionals, and teachers, and look at how we can look with optimism about young people and their futures and their thinking and their relationships and their challenges and achievements. So Positive Minds Australia is really about extending outside of just me, Kathy. So for 20 years, it was just me doing my practice, loving my practice, juggling a waiting list. I'd had a waiting list within my first year, and people kept saying, we're on this waiting list. How can we access this support and these services? And I really, felt that with the books that I've written and with the work that I've been doing over the last couple of decades, it was time to share some of that information and train some fabulous people who have already joined the team to be able to convey that message and continue with the work and join me in that. So that's where we're at right now, is supporting young people and the people who support them in a broad range of ways. So not just around the work that I've always done, which is one-on-one and in small groups and training parents and educators and health professionals, but now also looking at how do we create a space where all young people can gain a sense of belonging, no matter who they are, no matter what they're going through. That's why I've employed a fantastic kung fu teacher, for example, and we're delivering very small, structured, inclusive, tailored groups where kids can come along, young people can come along, learn the art of kung fu and feel really proud of the skills and talents they're developing, but also know that we see the strengths in every young person. So we see that charisma can be found in a variety of ways. It's not just the extroverts. It's not just the people who are socially confident. It's all of us. We all have something to offer. And what I've always found with the young people that I've worked with, Kathy, and I'm sure you're the same, is it's been hard for them to find a place where they can go and learn some skills and use their strengths and be seen, heard, and valued for who they are. So it's just that's what I've always been able to do within my practice one-on-one, and now we're extending it in other ways. So we're offering yoga, kung fu, drama, and then I also have a wonderful teacher, Nikki Wadowitz, working with me, who is delivering my social emotional literacy and resilience programs in schools. So she's addressing my waiting list, but working very compassionately and enthusiastically in schools, as I have done over the last few years, to deliver those programs as well.
Oh, just such joy listening to you, and I enjoyed your website earlier in prepping for this chat. What you've done is shifted from providing one-on-one services. I understand there's still some of that, but you've made the leap to a what I describe as a one-to-many model, where your groups and your training and workshops, and there's going to be a retreat later on. So what was your business thinking in stepping away from the one-to-one, I'm doing air quotes around traditional therapy one-to-one, to the one-to-many? How did you kind of make that leap in business thinking?
So, Kathy, I think this is something I've been thinking about for a very long time, and I've been very precious about my work. I work, you know, one of my strengths, which is also my difficulty, is, and you know this, I spoke with you about this a few years ago, is I've never really been in business. I've never really understood business. I've never thought enough about money. And so I've been operating just me and working with absolute love and dedication. But I reached a point where I realized that I have put all my resources into me, into this one person, and none of us know how long we're going to be here on this earth. So there's one person doing this work I love and that I knew was benefiting the young people and their families and the schools that I was working with. So I knew all of this, but I was like, I'm not hiring anybody. I'm not going to do anything like this, because you just don't know. Like, what if they don't look after the kids? What if they say something that, you know, is not with my value system around seeing people for who they are and being compassionate and kind and understanding? So I had this unrealistic, you know, perhaps it was my age, it was where I was at the time, where I just thought, I can't grow this. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and it's going to be nice and safe, and that's what I know. And then I have a complete sense of I know what's going on. And then I started to look around me and work and look at all the people that I value around me as professionals and who inspire me every day with their phenomenal dedication to young people. And I started looking around and going, oh my gosh, we're all doing the same thing. This is fantastic. And I'm going to be courageous, and I'm going to start thinking about who are the like-minded people who perhaps are at a stage where they're looking to do something different. And I started watching and thinking, and I realized, you know what, I don't want this to be just my business anymore. I want this to be about bringing in all the strengths of all of these incredible people that I learn from every day and who are already doing incredible work with young people. And I'm going to create and it's very small at this stage, and it will, I imagine, grow in a small way, because I will want to get to know the staff and work from their strength and my weaknesses and all of that, so that we're basically building a group where we jump in with our own strengths to support each other's weaknesses and vulnerabilities, and bring in a team where we can even give a better service to young people. So clearly I can't teach kung fu. I wouldn't even try. I can't teach. And so I started looking around and thinking about the people. I know all of the people on the team. I've known them for many years, most of them, and have seen them at work. They've come to my training from time to time in context of their own work. And I thought of these people and I thought, oh my goodness, you would strengthen my practice in infinite ways with things that I can't offer, and you can, and you can do brilliantly. And I realized growth is a good thing, and letting go of that ownership is also a good thing. And I am loving everything that we're all learning together, and the debriefs and conversations that we're all having together in this very early stage of the positive mind stage of my practice. But they all share the same thing, which is a compassionate outlook for everybody. So not just the young people, for their families, for their teachers, for the health professionals supporting them. We all share a very similar value system, which is, you know, we're not better than anybody else. We're not beneath anybody else. We are all out there, you know, trying to live our lives and do the very best we can at it. And we all, you know, want to be seen. We want to be noticed. We want to be valued for our strength. And every member of the team at Positive Minds Australia shares that with me. And I think when we've got that, everything else is going to thrive and flourish from there.
Yeah. There's lots of ways to be right, and it can be so easy to be a little territorial or defensive. They're quite strong words. Thinking that, well, my therapy is the best way and the fastest way and got the most research and blah, 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 blah. We convince ourselves to be incredibly special and important. But, you kind of get outside and that look around. There's so many ways to achieve the same goals with young people, and so many
ways to motivate
and I think energize the grown-ups too.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, the hardest thing for me to cross to this stage, you know, if we look at feeling territorial or feeling that sense of ownership, it was for the sheer protection of the I have always worked with love. That is always the first, you know, the first thing for 20 years that goes through my head before I sit down with every child, every parent, every presentation I'm giving. I imagine myself in that person in front of me, and I make a little wish, call it what you want, that words will come that are useful to this person, and that because I care so deeply about that person in front of me and my fear about being beyond what I was doing, because I knew I was working consciously, I knew I was working compassionately, I know exactly what goes on in my head, but I don't know, you know, what goes in the head on in the heads of everybody else. And so for me, I wanted to know that if I was going to create something with my name and with my books and with my programs, I wanted to know that that the young people would always be getting the very best, because they come to us so much more vulnerable. They come to us with an infinite amount of trust that, you know, they come and that, what courage it takes to ask for help, what courage it takes to sit in a room when you've been living in the principal's office because of your challenging behaviours, and they come so vulnerable, and I want them to all be okay. And so that was my fear above anything. It was certainly not, you know, a sense that I knew better or that I had the way. It was, how do I know if I'm going to associate this with my name, that I will find the right people that I can trust to continue to deliver this compassion and this understanding. It is a privilege to work with another human being, and it is certainly the greatest privilege to help another human being when they are going through a stage of difficulty, and to honour that and to put your heart and soul into having an impact on their life. And so I found that in these team members, and there are many others who I'm already having conversations with who I know feel that and do that, and it's exciting. You know, I don't have any fear around that anymore, because they're coming. we're talking, because the door has opened, and it's exciting.
Wow, your business model has changed significantly, and I'm hearing team and team and team over and over again. From a business point of view, what have you learnt in the last 12 months?
Oh my goodness.
Just key takeaways.
It's so much, isn't it? Yeah, so a few takeaways. What have I learned? That it's phenomenally hard work, and everything that you think in your head all the years leading up, going, I need to do this, I could do that, oh look, that person's doing this, I could, you know, all these things seem so simple until you're doing it.
Yes.
So it's hard. Yes. I've learned that it is so much harder than I ever realized to see the layers you need to think about. That I just thought it would be as simple as I just need to find some fantastic people with great experience, high levels of empathy and compassion, and skills that I don't have, so that we can all build from each other. I thought that was all I needed to do. That was the easy bit.
What else popped onto your horizons?
Oh, my goodness. So insurance. Professional indemnity, public liability, getting all of that. I didn't even think of that. I've got all of that for myself. Making sure I had that to cover my staff, making sure I had contracts, which I'm still developing with them. All of these, you know, working out what their strengths are, but really being able to put that into strength, managing time, knowing that I am now continuing to practice. I just uploaded 80,000 word manuscript a few days ago for my latest book. So I'm still doing all of that other stuff too. So I'm managing director, but I'm also, you know, working like everybody else. So I learned that this was actually a whole new job that I'd taken on. I didn't see it that way. So I have this other job where we're talking on the phone and with staff about group sessions and individual sessions and how we can best respond to what's going on for individual clients. I hadn't even thought about that, Kathy. That sure sounds incredibly naive. I knew I'd always be doing it, but it is a whole other job. So those things are new, and learning that I can do all of this. I am amazed that of how much, you know, humans can do once you're in it. You have to just leap in, and I'm so glad I did. But it is phenomenally hard. And as you know, I'm a mother of three young children as well, and thankfully have a very supportive husband and beautiful friends. And it's the team around your life, isn't it, that makes all of this
team
work.
Yep, your life team and your business
team. It's my life team. Oh, my goodness. I have, you know, I'm so grateful for all of, you know, my friends and family who support me to be able to do this. But, yeah, the main thing is the paperwork. I'm terrible with billing. I spoke to you about this many years ago because my strength is that I work with love and I don't think about money. It is my clients who send me reminders to bill them, and I'm still there, Kathy. However, I've improved. I have improved. I know you were horrified. You were horrified when we first spoke, and you were like, so hang on a sec, and what do you do to chase these things up? And I'm like, I just have those systems. So I go in and look, I'm developing systems, and some people I even bill on the day. I'm getting better, but I'm still getting reminders from families I work with to say, hi, Marnaby, thanks so much for seeing so-and-so for the last term. We're just, you know, waiting on your bill. It's like, oh, my goodness, thank you, yes. Thank you for the reminder. I'm sorry I forgot.
Someone will do something soon. Oh, gosh.
So I'm hoping that eventually I'll have someone that just quite, you know, I guess I need to look at an admin person at some point in time. That is my weakness, is, you know, money, numbers, I find them, you know, phenomenally boring, and have the highest regard for people who find them interesting and exciting, because I don't, it's just not my strength yet.
Yet, I'm happy to hear you. Yes.
And it's, but it's improving. So I think what I, you know, they are the key things, is there's a lot more to just having a team who love their work and go out there and do their best every day to support your vision for your company. It's the numbers bit, it's the paperwork bit, it's the fact that it is a job in itself to direct a company. And I guess most organisations probably would have, as they grow, somebody that is the managing director and not doing all of the other things, the counselling, the writing the books, the, all of those other things on top of that as well. So, did I even answer that question, Kathy?
Yeah, that is just a raw, honest answer. I expected nothing different. Which bits of business are you really enjoying?
Which bits of business? Right. That's a really great question. I know which bits of my work I love.
I know.
I'm trying to think.
Business
side. Business. See, again, you've got me right on that bit that I don't know a lot about business. Right? I know a lot about people. I certainly know a lot about resilience and social emotional learning and writing books and working with people. Business, what am I loving? I feel intensely proud to own this business where it's at right now. That I am loving. I feel this phenomenal pride in the team. I get excited when I talk to them and I love what they're doing. I love I love the young people's faces when I see them head off to a lesson. I get to work with the teacher I have on board. She's at one of the schools I work at, and I feel utterly delighted watching her walk away with a social emotional learning group, and their excitement to see her, her excitement to see them. I'm loving that part of business, watching them flourish and love their work. I love having an email signature. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. Is that business? Oh, that
account, it's marketing.
I love having a logo. I've never. You know me, Kathy. I think when you ask me questions, I love this business. I love what we're doing already and what we're going to continue to do. I have 100% confidence in the direction it's heading, and I probably didn't answer that, and I still talk to lots.
An answer is an answer.
Your understanding.
That's all good. It's all good. So in the dark nights of business, what do you know your business needs next? So in those dark, raw moments, what does the business
need? Yeah. My business needs admin support. Yeah. My business needs somebody to think about numbers for me. My business needs somebody, you know, I have a phenomenal amount of emails, and this is certainly what developing the website by Free Range Futures did an incredible job developing my website for me. And when I approach them, I approach them because they have a social conscience behind their work, and they work with people that, you know, want to do similar work to what I'm doing in different ways. And I did this because I thought this would start to simplify the phenomenal inbox overload I've always had about my public speaking, my writing, my counselling. So I started with the website, and that is done, and that has streamlined my work in, you know, in such great ways, in that I know when someone's doing a public speaking request, I know when someone wants to buy a book, I know when someone wants to see one of the counsellors. So that's been great. What I don't have is a system around checking those emails. It is all me. And because I'm a mother of three young kids, I'm very aware that does not come into my time with my children. So I have to keep that phone away, yet I'm also running a business. So I would love down the track sometime in the next 12 months to have somebody able to check those emails and be able to respond about my public speaking, to be attached to my diary and help me with my bookings. I would love someone to help me with that same person to help me with billing people, because it's not that I don't need the money. I absolutely need the money like everybody else. It's just I don't think about it. I see the person, I do the work, I feed back to the family, and then I leave, and then I go, oh, billing. You know, whereas if someone else could just do that for me, that'd be great, because eventually you do get to the point where it's like, okay, I actually need to get this money into my account, so I need to do that, and then I end up having to do, you know, 50 bills in one go. So I think that's what if anything was going to keep me awake, it is the pressure of email, you know, managing email on my own and managing billing on my own. As you know, it is my greatest weakness is that I am not, I don't have enough strength in that yet. So that's where I think my business is missing something.
Yeah, what you've said, I'm very confident will resonate with many allied health business owners, and the sense of doing it all yourself and the sense of really putting a lot of energy into the bits that you really enjoy, but there comes a financial reward. And even if it's not your strength, it becomes a necessity. And having someone in to do phone, email, payment, money management, absolute game changer.
Yes.
Changer. It buys you mental health, I believe. To have someone in your corner doing those tasks that aren't your joy and aren't your flow.
Yes. And that's it, isn't it? We use our strengths in our work. We do what we do well, intuitively and naturally. And then we ask for the support of others who can step in and lift us with the things that we can't. And that is certainly, you're absolutely right. It's crucial that I head in that direction. And that is absolutely next in the next few months once I, continue to, my priority at the moment is to support my staff. It's such early days for them. They are learning something new every day and they're all in doing their work, but they're doing their work in a different context. So right now they are 100% my priority. And once I feel that everyone's settled, that's my next thing, is to do some research on how I can best manage that.
Yeah, lovely. Now, I heard the magic words 80,000 word manuscript, and I know you've already written five books, some on your own, some co-authored. What's amazing about the book writing process for you?
Oh, I love writing books. So as you mentioned, What's the Buzz is co-authored with my dear friend and colleague, Mark LeMessurier. So I think we now have three programs out, and plus a big colour picture book. And then on my own, I've written the Resilience and Wellbeing Toolbox, and the Positive Mindset Curriculum is about to come out later this year. What's great is you're putting your work on paper and you're sharing with a broad audience what you have learnt over the years of practice. And I know you would be the same with your writing. It feels so good to just get it out there and know that all of that hard work, all of the things you've learned, all the mistakes you've made to get to that point where you feel like you've got this great framework for your work, can just be given on paper to a broad audience. So, I'm really fortunate to have an incredible publisher, Routledge London, and they distribute in over 87 countries around the world. And you get letters from people that are using these programs, and you think that's incredible when you see that your work is extending outside of Positive Minds, outside of just me. And I love writing. I've loved writing since I was a child. It feels very natural. I've always done it when my kids are in bed. It's been phenomenally exciting this year. I've now got three children in school. I write during the day, and it is just a very, it's probably where I find a lot of my flow is in my writing. There's a lot of it that is, of course, difficult and challenging to come up with new things and creative things and to honour the reader. I'm always thinking of the reader and thinking, how can I convey this in a way that will be easy to read and not infuriating to read, and hopefully I get better at that with each book, and to honour the young people that the book is written for and make sure that there's research behind what I'm writing. But I love it. There's nothing I would complain about with the writing process. I thoroughly enjoy it and feel so incredibly privileged that I found that. That was, again, something you just landed in my life that I hadn't planned. It just happens, and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. How do the books sort of come together and weave into your public speaking and consulting? The reason I ask is sometimes people think, oh, it'll be so hard to sell books and make money out of it. But my book mentor describes it as a really heavy business card and that it opens up doors for other projects. What's your thought on this in terms of books and getting them out there, but what the books actually lead on to?
That's such a great question. So with all the books. So as you know, I've co-authored with Mark Lemessurier, and then I've written books on my own. They've all been done through a publisher. So from on monetary terms with our publisher, you receive a royalty, and that royalty is, you know, about between 5% and 10%. So with a shared book, it's you know, half of that royalty, and Mark and I share that. And so that's small, you know, for them, they gain the most of the monetary gain in that. Now, where the money, I think, if we need to talk, you know, if we're going to talk about that, where it comes from is it means that when someone wants to deliver that model, so they want to deliver What's the Buzz or the Resilience Toolbox or the Positive Mindset Curriculum, they want to know more. And so the book gives you some of that. But so much of my public speaking, and Mark wouldn't mind me speaking on his behalf in terms of What's the Buzz, is around people wanting us to come and train in schools. We also by running your own private training days. So I haven't had a lot of time in the past to do that, but I'm starting to do that this year and will do more so next year, is people come and they purchase a ticket in order to be accredited to run that program. And it also gives you, I guess you could call it a product, couldn't you? Like it's a thing that is not you. And so it's like, that person has that book. Maybe we should get that person to come and talk about that book at our school or at our parent meeting or at our hospital, and they might be able to tell us a bit about resilience or whatever your topic happens to be. So a lot of my public speaking engagements, I would say, it's a mix, because I've always done public speaking over the last 20 years. I did it when I worked at Autism SA, which was my very first job out of university. I was doing public speaking there as well, and it was around parenting and social emotional learning. But now the books have given that extra layer, that extra thing that people go, oh, I want training on that. I want it specifically on that, or I want it on that message. How do we get kids to be more resilient? How do we help them develop their social emotional thinking or their optimism? How do we do that? So in that way, so much of my work that I get paid for eventually once I bill the people, so much of my work comes based solely on someone seeing the book in a library or seeing the book on someone's desk and wanting to know more.
Yeah. So often people think that a book is a standalone item, a standalone product that you sell, but where magic happens, it's when it's part of a whole ecosystem and spins and connects with all the other parts of what you do.
Yes, spot on.
What's the next book called? It's due later 2019.
Yes, that's right. So sometime between July and October. So it's officially in press, but it's quite a big process to get all of the production and the final edits. It's called The Positive Mindset Curriculum. That is still the provisional title, but it is most likely that's what it will be. What happens in London is the team have a good look at the final manuscript and make sure that that title reflects what has been written, and it will also be given a subtitle, which I will again work together with Routledge on as well.
That's amazing. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Let's kind of throw the thinking out maybe in 2 years' time. What do you imagine Positive Minds Australia will look like in 2 years' time?
In 2 years' time, I would love to have more people on board delivering the Resilience Toolbox and What's the Buzz and Positive Mindset Curriculum in broader areas. At the moment, we're just delivering them really within a certain group of schools and within the local community. So I would love to have the team grow so that we have North, West, East and South in South Australia. I have also thought about how I would love to connect with people that I have got to know through sources like LinkedIn and via social media and through shared work in other parts of the country. That is why I added the Australia bit, because I have the books ready to be delivered as programs. I would love to start to meet people outside of South Australia who are keen to learn more about the program and perhaps start developing it beyond South Australia. And I obviously want an admin, really want and need one, with admin. I hope that is not going to take me 2 years. I imagine that'll be in the next 6 months or so. And I would love, you know, once we get to a point where we have enough growth, and that will take time, of course, to actually just have a building, Kathy. At the moment, you know, we're based in schools, which is just wonderful because kids are learning within the context of their peers and their teachers and their families. But I would really love to have a centre here in Adelaide. Maybe not in 2 years, but maybe within 2 years I'll have a plan for that, yeah, where people can come and we can do the yoga, the kung fu, the drama. The art therapy is also on the cards, and have this place where everyone belongs, and we find, help you see your charisma, your strengths, and come and learn some stuff that builds on who you already are, but it becomes the place. At the moment, we're borrowing time from here, there and everywhere. My husband is also part of the practice, and he's counselling in our local community centre, which I love, but you imagine it's like trying to book in sessions here and there that fit in with their booking. So I would love to at least have a plan at the end of the 2 years on how, I don't know how I will do that, but I hope that one day I'll be able to do that as well.
Yes, it's sounding like a business that's happening out of the back of people's cars and in the hearts of schools and the community, but there is something to be said for some bricks and mortar at times. If nothing else, it cleans out your car and your dining table at home. So good aspirations. Have you thought of a podcast?
Do you know, people ask me this all the time.
There you go.
Only when people have asked me if I've thought about a podcast, I think about it then. People say quite often at the end of the talk, it's like, I just wish I'd recorded that, because I'm not going to remember everything you said, because anyone who's come to my presentations know they're all different. I kind of have a framework and slides, but I just go and with intuitively what's required at the time and also what's based on the information I've been given by the organisation who's hosting. And certainly I think down the track that would be a wise thing to do. And it's really been this last few months just getting the website up and running. I have many other websites, as you know, but now I've consolidated into this one website where it reflects my work. That's been my primary goal, and getting my manuscript in. Yeah. So now I have time to think about things like that. I would love to record some of the conversations. I'd love to talk to people like you do who have wonderful work that they're doing. So, no, I haven't thought about it formally, except when people say, why haven't you got a podcast? Can you please do a podcast? We really want a podcast. We also want an app, yes, and an online training program. I want to do all of those things. But I really, my number one priority will always be my family, you know, my children and my husband and my friends. And so I am very careful about doing too much. I want to do everything, but I am very attuned to the fact that I have a very limited amount of time with young children. You know, they all develop their own lives very, very quickly. And so I am okay to go slow with those things. I've always been a little bit of a turtle like that. And When I'm with someone, when I'm working, I'm on fire and they've got me 100%. But I'm very conscious of not stealing time from my family either. And it is hard, like you mentioned, as an allied health professional. We all work with love. We work with phenomenal love and dedication. And I, as many people do in lots of other professions too, you know, and so you want to say yes to every job you're offered. You want to be there and do this and give people what they're wanting and needing. But I've always kept in the back of my mind, and perhaps in the front of my mind actually, that there has to be balance, and I have to walk, I have to go to the gym, I have to listen to music, and primarily above all else, I need to get time with the people I love, and they will always win because I won't be able to give my families that I work with, my second family, which is the kids I work with and their parents and their schools, I couldn't give them this if I wasn't giving myself, perhaps selfishly, I don't know, my own well-being by those relationships. My family and my friends are always first, and exercise. I have to move. I have to laugh. I have to listen to music and podcasts, and they are my have-tos. And so I'm hoping that, you know, particularly having three children in school, that's a huge game changer. As much as I miss having young people at home, I have loved that stage so much and really didn't think I'd adjust as well as I have, dropping that last one off to the school gate. But what it's meant is I can now compartmentalise my life a bit more and not be just grabbing bits and pieces. When I'm with my children, I'm doing that, and now I have a little more time to start thinking about things like a podcast and an online program and a whole bunch of other things I think I just mentioned.
Oh, dear, I've been holding my breath through all of that. I have just had the best catch-up and chat. Thank you so much for joining us in our podcast.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to talk to you. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Let's just leave it there. That is just such a lovely way to finish. And please, can we hear the update next year or the year after about how Positive Minds is just going to go from strength to strength? It's the energy behind it.
I would love.
Phenomenal. Cool. All
right.
Thank you. See ya. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues.